Back to My Garden, episode 70.
Welcome to Back to My Garden. Discover your passion for gardening. Here's Dave Ledoux.
What's the hottest trend in gardening? I think the hottest trend is aquaponics. Can you really grow a massive garden powered by fish? Find out more and discover the secrets to building fish-powered gardens at www.backtomygarden.com/fish. Attention garden lovers. Do you want to save time, save money, and have your most amazing garden ever? Receive free tips, strategies, and gardening techniques from passionate gardeners around the world. Join the VIP club for free today at www.backtomygarden.com/VIP. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you are in the world when you listen to this. I'm Dave Ledoux, and welcome to another edition of Back to My Garden. Fantastic guest for you today, folks. We're going all the way across the world to London, England. Amy knows her way around a garden and a big city. She's a 20-something journalist living in London, and she has a new book coming out this year, actually next year, by the time you listen to this, so we'll talk about that. And she's in love with fresh-picked strawberries, and she's less keen about spiders. Her garden blog is brilliant. It's filled with awesome hacks, tips, and DIY gardening techniques. We have a ton to talk about. She's also known worldwide as the Chaotic Gardener. So welcome from London, England, Amy Willis. Hi, Amy. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you. It's great to be here.
I gave you a brief introduction, but I definitely want to get to know you better, and our listeners want to hear your stories. Amy, relax, take a minute or two, and share with us a little bit about your background and how did you get into gardening?
Well, I first got into gardening and grabbed the gardening bug years ago when I killed my first bonsai. I actually loved that bonsai, but unfortunately I was drinking too many martinis to actually water it. After that, I still wanted a garden, but I took a better approach. Now, my brother, Jack, he just got himself an allotment. And I guess it was kind of bitter sibling rivalry that really got me started. I wanted to have bigger, better carrots than him, to put it bluntly. When it came to Christmas dinner, I wanted my spuds to have pride of place in the centre and my brother's feeble offering to be relegated to Boxing Day. Unfortunately, he actually turns out to be quite a lot better at gardening than me. So he's got all his beds in place. He's got asparagus plants, peppers, aubergines, everything. But either way, that's how I ended up getting myself an allotment. And since then, I haven't looked back. It's like my love for that little dead bonsai. And I love my little allotment and all the horse shit that comes with it.
Fantastic. This is going to be such a good show. The listeners right now are grinning. They know it's going to be good. Amy gave us a lot to work with there. Good word pictures, too. I can just picture Jack's garden. I'm beginning to understand where the chaos comes from in the Chaotic Gardener. How did that come about? The terminology or the idea?
The idea for the Chaotic Gardener. Well, to be honest with you, because I am just a chaotic gardener. I'm just hopeless at it. Everything that I've done in the plot, it's just been mistake after mistake, and you know, I keep ploughing on, and somehow I'm still going with it, and I still haven't been chucked off the plot. The very first thing, getting an allotment wasn't that easy. You have to wait quite a few months, sometimes years. But by the time you get that call, the great thing is that you're absolutely salivating at the chance to get down and dirty in the allotment beds. So in a way, you know, getting that plot is quite a challenge in the first place. But you know, I managed to get one. And when I arrived, God, that was incredible. Let me just go and turn that thing off.
Yeah, no worries.
Can we start that one again?
No, you're good.
Okay.
This makes it authentic. People say, oh, you know, they're not acting in a studio.
Yeah, so we're, where was I? So yeah, when I first got eyes on the plot, it was such a shock. And I, to be honest with you, I almost just gave up then and there. But the key thing is, you've just got to carry on. So there I was. I donned some yellow marigold swimming goggles and got to work. And oh my goodness, when I first got to the plot, there was like this big pile of crap in the middle with people's discarded beer cans, dirty nappies. I think there was even a hip bone in there, which I hope was just the remnants of a dog treat. And there was a lot of rotten wood. It was just disgusting. Not only that, but the weeds, they were waist high, including this horrible weed called bindweed. And what this plant is, it's like this plant that entwines itself around other plants, and it kind of suffocates the hell out of it, eventually killing it. So there was that. And also there was a lot of couch grass. I don't know if anybody's come across it before, but this couch grass, it's a rough-looking monocot that is difficult to wedge out of the ground because its roots burrow deep and far. So to be honest with you, that was a great challenge, in just hauling this stuff up to try and get your beds in. But eventually, you know what, I got it all out. I got my compost heap in place. I got these, I got the beds either side. I mean, I ended up with this kind of little piles of dirt everywhere. It was like a mini chocolate. I don't know if you've seen the chocolate hills in the Philippines. It was like that all over the plot at one point. But anyway, I cleared all that away, and I eventually got my beds in, got my plants in. But I made a bit of a mistake with my shed. And to be honest with you, since running the plot and since that initial shock of getting it, the biggest challenge I've had since then has been this trauma that I've had with the shed. I should tell you a bit more about it, really. Someone said to me, well, I've got this great deal for you. It's foolproof. Foolproof money-saving transaction. It was the guy who ran the allotment, so I thought, oh, you know, this sounds quite good. It must be quite legit. And not only that, but he said, well, you know what, I'll promise you that I'll get this shed for you. I won't mess around. I'll just deliver it straight to your plot. I thought, wow, great, easy. I won't have to worry about picking it up, hauling it around. It sounded perfect. So I got this shed, and I somehow managed to rope my brother into helping me put it up. And when he arrived out at the plot, he said to me, Amy, what are you doing? This whole thing is rotten. It's completely rotten. Bin it straight away and get a proper one. So what did I do? I put it up anyway.
Of course.
I put it up and God. Once I put this thing up, I was determined that this thing was going to work. You know, my brother had told me it wasn't going to work. I was determined. This thing was leaning on one side. And every time I walked through it, because I hadn't built a proper base, I had stacked up about five or six different wooden pallets. So whenever you walked across these wooden pallets, the whole thing would lean even further. And eventually, somebody who came down to help me on the plot, they moved this stick. And unfortunately, that stick was the crucial piece of the infrastructure holding the whole thing up. So the whole thing then leaned even further to the side. And I knew then it was just the end. And that night, the wind just took it. It took it away. And I came back the next morning and I had to hold like a little memorial service. It was just gone. So essentially, having put this shed up, failed at that, the whole idea was to save a bit of money. And I ended up in a worse place than when I'd first started. Because not only did I not have a shed anymore, I had to clean up all the mess, all the rotten wood, which took me weeks, and start again from scratch. So But thank goodness I eventually found this non-rotten shed on eBay. It was about 100 quid, so it was a bit more money. I had to hire a van, I had to get a lot of proper paving slabs. But this time around, I put the whole shed up, and you know it worked. It worked that time, and that shed is still standing proud to this day, nearly half a year on.
Mike,
it was a nightmare, but it really does show you how important it is that you choose where you save your money and where you don't.
For those of you driving in your car listening to me and Amy talk about the dead shed, keep both hands on your wheel. I'm taking notes. I'll have links to all of Amy's sites. Follow her on Twitter. She has a brilliant Twitter feed at Chaotic Gardener. And then you got to check out Amy's blog at www.thechaoticgardener.com. You're starting to get a sense and a feel for some of Amy's storytelling style. If journalism doesn't work out for you, you can always write movie scripts.
Yeah, maybe I should.
If you added a bit of rolling fog and a horror, like a monster coming out of the shed, I could just see Jack. Has Jack been a good influence on you for gardening?
Well, he's definitely got me trying new things and trying to do better than him.
The sibling rivalry.
Yes, he's still better. He's still better. He just seems to have a bit of a knack for it.
You're a 20-something, which is really cool. Like, not your typical demographic for allotment gardener. Did you have to wait a while on a waiting list to get your allotment?
Well, yeah. I mean, because in London, there's so much competition for plots. I only had to wait several months, but some people are waiting years just to get their hands on one. It's just there's just not enough space for them in central London at all. Eventually, once you persist, you actually manage to get your hands on one, and once you've got it, it's perfect.
Nice. Yeah, it's one of the biggest cities in the world. Plus, you had a TV show, didn't you, about allotment gardening on TV?
Nope, not that I know of.
there was some, I don't know, a couple of years ago, something about, like, it was almost like Dancing with the Stars or X Factor, but it was on allotment gardening.
Oh, yeah. Well, there was a great show recently. It was, let me try and remember what it was called. Yeah, it was on the BBC. Mm-hmm. And that was, I think it was Allotment Wars or something
like
that.
Yeah.
And I wasn't personally involved in that, but it was a great show, and essentially pitted all these people together and saw how well they could actually grow their radishes. And each week somebody had to drop out because they were just hopeless. I can't remember who won that show, but it was fantastic, because you don't often see those kind of reality TV shows on the TVs over here.
I was trying to explain to my friends in America how big gardening is in England. Like, they can't even imagine, like, the difference between gardening on this side to where you guys have been doing it for so many centuries longer as a nation than Canada is younger than Thompson and Morgan Seed Company.
Yeah, well, it goes back to the Anglo-Saxon times, even, gardening over here. I don't know if you have the same term over there, but we section off the allotments in something called a rod. Mm. Now, a rod is a term, is an Anglo-Saxon term, which just shows how old gardening over here really is. And that's it derives from this implement they used to use along... it was a cattle prod, prod being probably coming from the same etymology. So they had this, they sectioned it off in this with this stick, and that term has stuck to this day. It just shows how steeped in history it really is.
You know, Amy, we have listeners in about 30, 35 countries, and they're listening right now, and they're twitching. They want to know, what did you grow this season? What was your garden like? What kind of a year did you have? What were some of the high points for you?
Well, high points. I'm very good at low points.
Oh, you can share low points if you want.
Low points. Got plenty of those. Well, I managed to plant all my onion bulbs upside down. And I only realised when my brother again, he planted his at the same time and his started coming through. And I thought, well, why aren't mine? so I had to dig them all back up again and realise, of course, they were upside down. You've got to be really, really very careful with these things because it's the point of it that goes at the top, I've since learned. I had a great crop of those once I sorted that out. I must have had about 30 different red onions. They were really, really tasty and big. Another thing, I always do very well with courgettes, or I think there's zucchinis mm-hmm. over there. Mm-hmm. Those are really expensive from the supermarket, and they just grow so easily here. And you've got to make sure you pick them, of course, at the right time. Mine, quite a few of them, ballooned to kind of the size of something you'd find in a Playboy magazine. They're just huge, some of them. I had a great crop of courgettes. And what else was there? So runner beans, broad beans, blueberries, strawberries. Gosh, I love strawberries. They're very easy to grow, but very, very tasty, as long as you don't get thieves coming over to pinch them, which does happen. Goodness, there's been so many things that are really worthwhile doing. But for me, I'm already thinking about next year. And next year, my real thing that I really want to get my hands on is some asparagus. So this asparagus, I mean, it takes 2 years to actually establish because they've got really shallow roots. So you have to be really careful when you're weeding around them. So what I'm going to do is I think I'm going to cheat and get myself some 1 year dormant crowns. Then you can kind of get them established a lot earlier. These will need planting in March on a bed of horse manure. But anyway, I'll be blogging on that nearer the time, and hopefully I won't muck that up.
I just kind of did that face like, whoa, and I wrote that down. Somebody is selling year-old asparagus crowns?
Yeah. It's
brilliant.
It's a bit of a cheat.
Well, it's strategic. It cuts your time in half.
Yeah, totally.
It's like the guy selling answers to the tests at university. It's just, wow. I wonder what that's going to run you. How much?
Well, I don't know. I have to try and find somewhere that does them first. And hopefully it won't be too bad. But I'll find out then, and I'll definitely be updating readers on it.
Yeah, for those of you playing the home game, check out Amy's blog at The Chaotic Gardener. There's links to her Facebook there. And are you on YouTube, Amy?
Not yet, no. But I do plan to be in the future at some point.
Yeah, shoot a couple of garden side how-to videos. I want to ask you about your strawberries. Do they come up every year? Do you cover them up? Are they fairly fragile?
Do you know what? I thought strawberries, because they taste so good, I thought they're going to be really hard to grow. But they're really not. They're really easy. My ones I've got in a raised bed, mainly to try and create an obstacle for the slugs, because I've got so many at the moment. We've got these giant vulgaris ones that have come over from mainland Europe, which are just feasting on everything. They're like three times the size of anything that you could possibly see normally over here. But anyway, so I've got them in my, I've got the strawberries in my raised bed. And what's great about them is each year they kind of spread their rhizome roots out, and they grow new plants. So I think strawberries, they only they're only decent for 2 or 3 years. But because you've got this new plants constantly growing each year, you've always got fresh new plants going. And I don't cover them up. I don't do anything. I just weed around them. Sometimes put a bit of straw to keep them nice and dry. They're just very, very easy. Very easy plants to grow.
Okay, you talked about some of the high points that brought you joy. What frustrated you this year? other than Jack and the slugs?
I tell you what, the slugs were absolutely relentless this year. Absolutely relentless. I mean, they've just decimated everything. But this year, I would have to put it down to the pigeons. There's this cherry tree, which is just a couple of plots over from mine. And these pigeons, they sit on the branches and they peer at you and watch you every single moment that you're doing. And then as soon as you've gone, they'll come and absolutely decimate all of your cabbages. I had such a hopeless crop of cabbages this year because they just ate the lot. And I never knew that pigeons eat cabbage. I mean, who knew? But they do. So the key thing with those cabbages is to make sure you net them nice and early. And if you do that, which of course I didn't do, then you will have a nice crop. That and of course putting some slug pellets down. So my biggest disappointment was the cabbages.
I was going to ask you if you've tried the Guinness beer trap for the slugs.
Oh, that's on my list of hacks. I've got to give it a go before I write about it.
You're going to find your containers are empty and someone's come down and had a few shots of Guinness in the night. And apparently it works. The slugs just come into the little saucers and drown. That'll be a great little blog article.
Definitely. I'll have to try it with wine as well. Wine and sherry and various other alcohol.
Yeah, the slugs are bad. We have skunks where I live. And the skunks want to eat the grubs in the lawn. And they have big claws, of course, so they start ripping up people's lawns to get at the grubs in the middle of the night. And your once tidy front lawn just gets shredded by these skunks.
Oh, God. We don't have those, no. We've got foxes. The foxes are terrible. They, all those dirty nappies I had in the compost heap at the beginning of my plot, it's actually the foxes that bring them over. And every single week, whatever happens, I will always have about 5 dirty nappies in my plot. It's just disgusting. And I don't know why. There must be somebody who lives opposite the allotment who's got a baby or maybe about 10 dozen babies, because whatever happens, they always seem to do the same thing every single week, no matter how many times I clear them away. It's that and bits of the remnants of somebody's Sunday roast. It's just disgusting. But I mean, foxes, they're kind of cute as well. The cubs are sweet in the spring. So, you know, it's a bit of both, really.
Let's take a minute to thank our sponsors and then come back and play 5 quick questions. Are you concerned about toxic chemicals, GMOs, and frankenfood? Don't panic. Grow organic. Discover my new resource for organic gardeners. Go to www.backtomygarden.com/myorganic. It pays to garden blog. Get my simple 5-step system for creating your own second income doing what you love, garden blogging part-time. Download instantly for free my garden blogger blueprint at www.backtomygarden.com/secret. This episode of Back to My Garden sponsored by Coffee Royalty. Can you really lose 5, 10, even 20 pounds or more just by switching your coffee or tea? Find out more at www.backtomygarden.com/coffee. I just glanced at the clock, Amy. Our half hour is whipping by, and now's the time in the show where we play a game called 5 Quick Questions.
Okay.
This is your chance to share your wisdom and experience with brand new beginner gardeners. Are you ready to play?
Okay, go for it.
Question number one. I'm sure in your circle of friends, you're kind of unique as a gardener. What's the number one excuse you get from your friends as to why they don't try gardening?
Dirt. Nobody wants to get their hands dirty, but if you get good nail polish, you can actually hide that, no problem.
Yeah, brilliant. Question number two. What's the best gardening advice that you've ever received?
Little and often, but I'm sure that's what everyone says. So I'm going to go with plant with the moon.
Can you say more about that?
Yeah, so what you do is you, on the rise of the full moon, you plant all your above soil veggies. So like tomatoes, runner beans, cucumbers. So you plant all those, and the idea is that the gravity pulls it up. And then on the full of the moon, You plant all your soil dwellers, like your potatoes, parsnips and carrots, and that pulls them down.
Wow.
I haven't been able to prove it yet.
But yeah, but
it gives you a better crop.
You're wise beyond your years. That's good stuff. That some people are just going, wow, that's really good. I like that. Because we plant here where I live after the full moon in May. And it usually coincides with Queen Victoria's birthday, somewhere around the 24th. So
yeah, that's probably why. That is probably why.
Historically, though, where I live, it's called the May 2-4 weekend. And it's a long weekend and everybody buys 24 beers and then it's just a big party and nobody plants anything until the following weekend when their heads are clear.
There we go.
Question number three. Internet's a big place. Now, I'm dating myself. I'm quite a bit older than you. There used to be a building where books were stored and you had to go there to look things up before Google existed. It was called a library. Now, everybody can find things on their phones. Do you have a couple of favorite websites that you use either as favorite blogs or resources? Something you can recommend?
Well, I'm going to have to say my one as number one.
Everyone should go to thechaoticgardener.com right now.
Yeah, that's the one. But the second one is probably theidiotgardener.com. Now, he's kind of got a similar vibe to his blog, but he once barbecued a whole pig's head for a laugh. So he's got some really interesting stuff on there, nice. Slightly quirky.
Idiotgardener.com. England, you have the Royal Horticultural Society's got an amazing website.
Yep.
Any other favorites?
In terms of go-to places, I mean, the Guardian's got an excellent website, gardening website, and the Telegraph, so we've gone right and left wing there, both of which have got some really, really fascinating stuff on there. Quite often I go there and I see what everybody else is planting at this time of year, and they've often got the kind of lists on there. Saying what you should be doing, so those are both very helpful. We've also got this great. Can I count a magazine? I don't know.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Grow Your Own magazine. I'm sure they've got a website out there as well, and that's quite a young, hip gardening magazine. So it's got a lot of like some. There's quite a few hacks and lists and things that you can do with wooden pallets and guides like that, which I really enjoy.
Cool. Yeah, for the listeners, if I didn't mention it at the top of the show, Amy's in journalism in one of the most amazing cities in the world. So your career must be fairly fast-paced at times.
Yes, it definitely is.
Yeah. Is that what got you into working on your book?
I would say it was a bit of the journalism, but also once I got started in the allotment, I finally thought to myself, "Gosh, I've got something I really enjoy that I can actually write about here." And it just so happens to be a bit different. I don't think there's that many young people who are actually getting into gardening. I do think it's happening a lot more, and that's what just gave me the idea. I mean. A book that isn't dull, that isn't boring, a lot of gardening books are just prose on how to do stuff, and they're written in different ways. But what I wanted to do is I wanted to create a book which had a bit more about it, and you know, it's kind of my journey, and with a few laughs along the way, so others can learn from somebody else's complete fuckwittery, and with the idea that you won't make the same mistakes yourself. So that's the idea of the book, but we shall see.
Well, Amy, I do know that certain executives from Timber Press listen to this podcast, so they're always looking for new talent. So you guys call Amy, hit her up on Twitter at Chaotic Gardener. You can chronicle the stories of her allotment, her dead shed, and her brother.
Yes.
I'm telling you, I mean... Why? The world does not need another dull, dry, boring gardening book. It wants your generation telling the story.
Totally. And hopefully it will get more people into it.
Well, of course. I mean, if Justin Bieber started gardening, everybody would just, you know, somebody told, you know, who's that soccer player from Manchester that married Posh Spice? Beckham.
Oh, David Beckham. Yeah.
You know, if he started gardening, everybody would garden. Speaking of books, question number four. Love books. The old hardcover gardening books. Can you recommend a gardening book? Do you even read gardening books?
I of course I do. Yes, I do. I've got quite a few of the traditional boring ones, but if I'm going to recommend one, I'm going to choose something that's a bit more fun. How to Survive a Garden Gnome Attack by Chuck Sambuccino.
How to Survive a Garden Gnome Attack.
Yes.
Spelled gnome wrong. Garden Gnome Attack by Chuck
Sambuccino.
I'll have my assistant look up that. I'll spell it wrong. I type with four fingers and two of them need spell check, so Google's my friend. That's fantastic. What is it about? What it's? It must be
He says he's a gnome slayer, a gnome defense expert. So it's all about what to do if your garden gnomes turn on you, step by step instructions on, you know, how to gnome-proof your house and all sorts.
I love in this episode how you've shared mistakes you've made, because amazing. I'm still at a young garden stage, like I'm an enthusiastic amateur. And so when I make mistakes, I still kind of take it personally, and my wife just shrugs it off. But mistakes are part of the game, right?
Yeah, I mean, the key thing is carrying on and not letting it bring you down. I mean, a friend of mine, she was given, I mean, it was another courgette plant, actually. She was given a courgette plant by her mother-in-law. And she said to me one day, she said, you know, I've had loads of courgettes, but they're not ripe. They're just not ripe. And I said, oh, that's very strange. And the next time I saw her, she said, you know what, Amy? Those courgettes, apparently they were yellow courgettes. So, you know, it's all about trial and error. You gotta go with it, and yeah, all those embarrassing moments, just go past it and work past it.
I'm convinced, I'm a bit of a nerd, but like in Star Wars, Luke Skywalker had Yoda and Obi-Wan. Every brand new gardener finds ultimately either a coach or a mentor or a teacher or a guide. You're trying to figure this stuff out on your own, it's just too difficult.
I suppose that's when you're meant to read up and learn it all beforehand, but kind of in a way it's more fun just to get stuck in and just do it. And to have those onion bulbs upside down and work that out for yourself. I mean, for me, it's been interesting because I tend to make a lot more mistakes than others, but it's interesting to see what kind of things your mind does automatically and trying to correct those over time.
Before we go on to question five, I mentioned you got a book coming out, you got a tremendous blog. On your blog, you make reference to a very horrific story that you survived and endured, an encounter with a spider. Can you share that?
This was possibly the worst moment of my entire life. I woke up, I was actually very hungover from a house party. It was an interesting house party as well. It was about 4 a.m. in the morning, and I kind of was lying on my back, kind of saliva dribbling out. And I could feel this kind of crawling around inside my mouth. And, you know, when you're still asleep, you're kind of registering something's crawling around your mouth, not quite sure if you're dreaming. And then suddenly there's this moment where I thought, oh, you know what? I'm not dreaming. And I woke up and I just spat. Luckily, I spat it out. And I thought for a moment, oh, you know what? I probably was just dreaming. Turned the light on. And there it was in all its glory, this big bundle of legs and hair and this big beady body. It was disgusting. And yes, it was kind of half dead. It's still twitching, but it had been in my mouth. It was revolting. And I'm terrified of spiders. And I've always been terrified of that tale that your parents tried to, well, normally my brother tries to freak me out with, saying that aren't you meant to eat something like 5 spiders a year? And until that moment, I'd never believed it was actually true. But now I suspect that maybe we are all actually eating spiders in our sleep. It's an arachnophobe's worst nightmare.
I'm sure your story of survival will inspire the multitudes, Amy. Very good. The reason I asked you to tell that, there's so many bugs in the garden. And some bugs are good and some bugs are not so good. But this attitude everyone has, I'm going to go buy poison and kill everything. And I guess biting is a way of killing a bug, but very inspiring. Question number 5. I'm off on a tangent. This is a fun one. It asks you to look into your crystal ball, and it's a two-parter. What's the one thing every brand new gardener should try to grow next year? And number 2 is there anything you're going to experiment with or try to have some fun with in your own garden next year?
Well... next year, I think it's all about the Jerusalem artichoke. It does cause flatulence, but it's absolutely delicious when you saute it with a bit of garlic. In terms of what I'm going to try, I mean, I'm going to try the asparagus thing, as I already mentioned. But I want to get a lot of different fruits into my allotment. I'm going to try some more. I didn't have a very good crop of slow berries this year, so I'm going to buy another slow bush so I can make sure I get a good batch of slow gin on the go. So that's probably my, with the of the asparagus, it's probably my thing I'm going to try properly next year.
Wow, I've done 5 dozen of these episodes and nobody said Jerusalem artichoke is something you should try to grow. That's cool.
Yeah, it's actually a great thing to have a go at because, I've been told, but I haven't actually planted mine yet. Because once you've got it going, it just keeps on growing like anything. And it's these huge bushes. You get a really good crop. It's meant to be very easy and tastes delicious.
For those of you jogging, listening to your iPhone, I'm going to put all of Amy's links up on the blog. Come over to Back to My Garden. Her Twitter is @chaoticgardener. Check out her blog, some fantastic hacks and DIY tips on www.thechaoticgardener.com, and make sure you share Amy's posts on social media and on Facebook. Amy, the time has flown by. You're a brilliant guest. We could talk for hours. I want to give you the last word to the listeners today, okay? Can you leave us with either a pearl of wisdom or a note of encouragement on our gardening adventures?
A pearl of wisdom. Well, I haven't got very many pearls of wisdom, unfortunately. I'm pretty hopeless. if I had to give some advice, it would be no matter how bad you are, no matter what kind of mess that you make, you just got to keep going. And take heart in that there's plenty of other people out there who are just as bad as you.
Fantastic. Absolutely brilliant. Amy, thank you for being on the show.
Great. Thank you very much for having me.